From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, it's one of those classic Coast to Coast shows as we're going to the Bigfoot capital of the world, Willow Creek, California, to talk about Bigfoot. And later, the beast of Boggy Creek. That'll be a few hours after. Get ready. Here's what's happening. Mitt Romney sweeping all five Republican primary elections tonight, putting an end once and for all to any hopes for a comeback by his GOP primary opponents. He is setting the stage for a November runoff with President Barack Obama. Stand by for more. A BP engineer intentionally deleted more than 300 text messages that said the company's efforts to control the Gulf of Mexico oil spill were failing, and that the amount of oil leaking was far more than what the company was reporting. In the first criminal charges related to the deadly explosion on the Deepwater Horizon rig, which happened in April of 2010, the Justice Department has arrested Kurt Mix, charging him with two counts of obstruction of justice for destroying evidence sought by federal authorities. Captain Kelly Sweeney with us, and of course you know Kelly has monitored this case all through its history. Kelly, did you expect something like this?
Ahoy, George. It's great being back with you and all the Coast listeners, and yes, I did, but we should remember one thing. This guy did not cause the disaster.
No.
He's being charged for actions which occurred weeks after the explosion, but the charge indicates, as you pointed out, that BP knew that their efforts for controlling the spill were not working and that more was spilling into the Gulf than they admitted to the government. Now, if it turns out that this guy is convicted and BP was found to have purposely withheld that information, then charges will go all the way up to the highest echelons of the company executives, George.
And they should, Kelly.
They darn well should. In addition, under international maritime law, employees of Transocean, which owned the rig itself, can be charged with the deaths of those 11 men.
All right, very good. Thank you, Kelly. All right, get ready for this one. The United States Department of Agriculture has confirmed the nation's fourth case of mad cow disease found in a dairy cow in California. The animal has been euthanized. The carcass is being held under state authority at a rendering facility here in California. Will be destroyed, of course. Though eating contaminated meat or other animal products from cattle with BSE, thought to be the cause of a fatal brain disease in humans, the cow was never presented for slaughter, and milk does not transmit BSE, in case you're worried about that. Well, no one can accuse the Heart Attack Grill of false advertising. A woman collapsed into unconsciousness at the Las Vegas restaurant while eating a double bypass burger, drinking a margarita, smoking a cigarette. The customer was the second in just over 2 months to collapse at the restaurant while eating one of the famed burgers, named after various forms of cardiac arrest. Back in February, another customer was caught on video being carted out by paramedics after suffering a heart attack while eating a quadruple bypass burger. Home prices dropping again in February in the most major cities for a sixth straight month, a sign that the modest gains haven't been enough to boost sales. The steepest declines in Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, prices rising in Phoenix, San Diego, and Miami, unchanged in Dallas. Registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock with us here. Still not out of the woods yet with the housing market, Mish.
No, not out of the woods at all, George. But housing is one of the few things that I'm actually starting to get a little bit bullish on. Home prices are now back to 2002 levels, and that's in nominal terms. If we adjust for inflation, say the price of food, the price of gas, we're now back to 1998 levels. Maybe some places have some room to fall. There's some places that probably already have bottomed. However, the caveat, there's always one, though, right, George, is to take advantage of this, you need to have a job, which is, you know, not easy to get now, and you need to not already have a house.
That's right.
So those are the two things. But even once home prices bottom, I want to caution people, there's still right now 2 million homes in foreclosure. Those are going to come on the market. There's another 1.5 million, actually 1.6 million homes that are 90 days delinquent or more. So there's upside pressures that are going to cap these home prices, but we're in the bottoming stage right now. That's a good thing, George.
All right, Mitch, thank you so much. To spy or not to spy on your teen on Facebook, that's a question for many parents, and most seem to be okay with it. According to a new survey, 60% of the parents in the United States of teenagers seem okay looking into their kids' social accounts without their knowledge. And moms are most likely to be the ones doing the spying. The information comes from a security software company which surveyed 4,400 parents with children ages 14 to 17 in 11 countries. American parents aren't alone in the snooping, but they seem to be more aggressive about Facebook. Globally, only 44% of all parents said they spy on their teens' Facebook accounts. Details emerging of a plan by billionaire entrepreneurs to mine asteroids for their resources. The multi-million-dollar plan would use robotic spacecraft to squeeze chemical components of fuel and minerals such as platinum and gold out of rocks. The founders include film director and explorer James Cameron, who's been on the program, as well as Google's chief executive Larry Page and its executive chairman Eric Schmidt. They even aim to create a fuel depot in space by 2020. Head of the EnterpriseMission.com and our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland here. Is this going to work, Richard?
You know, George, this is like an early birthday present.
For you?
Yep. About a century ago, during the Civil War, remember, Abraham Lincoln initiated the Transcontinental Railway. And it has been said that before the railway, the United States was impossible. And after the railway, the United States was inevitable.
That's right.
What these guys did this morning was to kick off what I will call the second age of space. This is like Kennedy all over again, except this time we're going to stay, because the bottom line of what motivates a lot of human beings is, how do you make money? How do you make a living? And up until now, except for communication satellites and some very expensive tourist junkets, you haven't been able to make a living in space. This technology curve, this plan, this projection that they laid out at that two-hour press conference was fascinating, because it's all doable. It's all with current technology. It's all with very smart and very, very rich people. And the game plan they're laying out for us is going to be transparent, because the technology they emphasized this morning is going to be made available to all the rest of us. Can you imagine what Enterprise and I could do with a couple of these satellites to go and look for artifacts in the solar system?
Amazing. But how do they know they can find like platinum and gold on an asteroid?
Because you use spectral analysis, remote sensing. We've been doing it for 100 years with telescopes. What they're planning to do is to actually send a fleet of little spacecraft, just like my departed friend Kraft Ericke recommended 30, 40 years ago. I mean, this is such an echo of Kraft Ericke's brilliant idea for inheriting the riches of the solar system. We need, George, to do a whole program on this with probably people like Jerry Pournelle, because this is the beginning of the civilian democratization of what's out there. And you know what they're going to ultimately find, right?
Oh, everything. Richard, that's a great story. We'll do that. And also, by the way, happy birthday for tomorrow, my friend. Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com. Now, you may have heard a new voice on Coast to Coast over the last several weeks. Let me tell you a little bit about Dick Hervasti. This guy has been drumming for rock bands at the age of 13, and he's now the newest member of the Coast to Coast AM family. I want you to hear Dick, hear his story. He's with us, and he's going to be with us for a long, long time. Dick, we're so happy to have you with us. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty well tonight, George. How's it going out in California?
Good. And you're up in one of my old staunching grounds of Minneapolis. I lived there back in 78.
Oh, is that right?
I worked at the KSDP for a year or so.
Oh, before, it's been 1,500 years.
Yep. And then off I went to St. Louis. But tell us about you, Dick.
Well, like you say, I'm a musician, really kind of in my heart of hearts. But if you can imagine how difficult it is now to have a career as a musician, it was still even kind of difficult back in 1975. And my brother, Tom, went to a radio school here in the Twin Cities. Back then it was called Brown Institute. And he was musically inclined and ended up getting a radio station gig at WCKL in Catskill, New York. And so I just followed in his footsteps.
You've got great pipes.
Well, thank you.
Now, did you always have this voice even when you were like 12 years old?
Yeah, you know, it didn't happen as quickly as our dear departed friend Don LaFontaine claims happened to him overnight. It happened to me over a summertime.
Good old Don, in a perfect world.
Oh, he did.
Hey, Dick, we're going to be talking to you more, but I just wanted everybody who has been affiliated with this program for so many years just to hear you and welcome you aboard, and we just look forward to many years with you.
Well, I thank you for the privilege. Really appreciate it, George. I used to be a nighttime a radio announcer in the Midwest, various places, and of course, radio in all day parts is about relationships, but especially at night, because listeners are just so very attentive and very loyal, and I consider this a privilege.
Super. Dick Hrovasty, and you're going to hear more of Dick's voice during all our programs on Coast to Coast AM. You know, as I was reporting last week, chin implants are now the fastest growing cosmetic surgery procedure. People in the thousands are getting chin implants. But did you know there are many botched surgeries and very strange plastic surgeries? We're talking about that next on Coast to Coast AM. You will shake your head when you hear about some of these plastic surgery stories. Dr. Tony Yoon is a board-certified plastic surgeon. Tony made his national television debut on Dr. 90210 and has been a frequent guest on The Rachel Ray Show. Tony is now a regular columnist on CNN. He has written articles, his book, In Stitches. He was on with me about a year ago. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Tony, how are you?
Great, George. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. You know, it is amazing how many botched surgeries, whether it's plastic surgery or just conventional surgery, that are happening all over the place. People who go in to have a leg removed and they take the wrong one or the wrong kidney. How do these things happen, Tony?
Well, it's because doctors and nurses are all human. So there are definitely mistakes that are made. And there's been numerous news reports about the amount of medical mistakes that are made in the hospitals. And hospitals are actually trying to clamp down on it. I know the hospital I work at, if we operate on a body part, they make us actually write the patient's name or our name on that body part so that we know we're taking the right side off. The correct side off, I suppose, is a better way to say it.
And we're going to be talking about some plastic surgeries and mention a few names or so, and I want everyone to know they are not Tony's patients. He may have heard stories about them, but there's that doctor-patient confidentiality. Tell me about Cher's rib removal. Did that happen?
Well, there's all these urban legends in plastic surgery, and so one of them was that there's this urban legend that Cher had ribs removed to make her waist thinner. And it's something that has, you know, been a story that has been going on for years and years. Now, Cher has denied it, but it is actually a real procedure. It's very, very unusual. It's nothing that most plastic surgeons have ever seen or done. But there are some people typically who undergo gender reassignment. They change their gender, and it is kind of this crazy surgery that some people undergo.
Is it dangerous?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because your ribs are right on top of your lungs. And one false move when you're removing a rib and you can puncture a person's lung. And that's why this isn't a typical surgery that plastic surgeons do.
I thought that Adam and Eve only did the rib thing.
You're right on that one. But it is something that is more commonly done outside the United States because it's definitely on the fringe. Most plastic surgeons in the U.S. would cringe thinking about doing that type of procedure.
You know, we are who we are. You know, our genetics from our parents, you know, my dad was about 5'8", and I'm 5'11". On my mother's side, they were taller, so I got that height from them. But a lot of people are doing strange things to get taller, aren't they?
Yes, and this is a true surgery that in orthopedic surgery, we've learned that if you break a person's bone and you you separate it about a millimeter a day, new bone will actually develop at about a millimeter a day. And people are using this principle to actually make people taller. So we used it in accidents where people may have bone that is crushed. And if you put the bone together and then gradually separate it, and it's pretty simple. You put a couple of spikes in the bone, and then you literally turn a lever.
Ouch.
Literally a millimeter a day, you can create new bone, and it literally causes people to look to become taller.
How many inches would someone grow or appear to grow?
Some people, there are reports that people have grown 4 to 6 inches with this type of procedure.
Amazing.
Now, this is very, very fringe. It's typically done more in Europe. There are reports of it being done in Germany, but there is a orthopedic surgeon or two in the United States that's actually performing the surgery. And it's very, very painful. Very few people undergo it, but it actually works.
You know, some people, like the late Michael Jackson, God rest his soul, there was a point that, Tony, where, you know, I thought he looked pretty good. But then and then he went too far. I mean, then he looked almost like a mannequin. What possesses someone to do that? Or why doesn't the plastic surgeon say, Michael, enough is enough. We're not doing anymore.
Well, there's two things involved here. So Michael obviously had a psychiatric issue. And the issue that most plastic surgeons believe he had is called BDD, or body dysmorphic disorder. And this is a very strange but actually kind of common psychiatric condition where you look in the mirror and you see something different than everybody else sees. So whereas somebody may have a small bump on the nose, to them, when they look in the mirror, that bump is the size of Mount Rushmore.
And okay. So
they undergo these multiple surgeries to try to correct the defect that was never really there in the first place. Interestingly enough, with Michael Jackson, I used to work out in Beverly Hills. I wrote about some of that in my book, In Stitches. But I used to work out there, and one of my employees used to work in an office where they reportedly, allegedly worked on Michael Jackson. And the story that I heard was that he would show up, that they would get a check from Michael Jackson Productions every month or two for anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000.
My gosh.
Yeah, every couple of months. Interestingly enough, his plastic surgeon, the one that I heard was his, actually ended up in an insane asylum several years ago. And back a few years ago, he actually ran for president against Barack Obama. Now, nobody heard about this because he wasn't part of the big parties, but this was Michael Jackson's surgeon. So you could kind of understand, you know, what would possess somebody to do surgery like this. I mean, his surgeon was crazy in and of himself.
What happens, Tony, in some of these plastic surgeries where it just doesn't seem to work? I mean, the person's worse than when he went in. What happens?
Typically, it's surgery that's overdone. And what happens is that patients will come in all the time asking us for procedures that just aren't realistic. So I get patients all the time asking me to look a certain way or to do a procedure, and their expectations are so out of whack that you do, you know, if oftentimes patients can even trick you. You know, I get patients that will say, oh, I understand that this is what I should expect, but I want this and that. And it can really go wrong very quickly. Plus, there are a lot of plastic surgeons out there that are doing procedures that they just shouldn't be. You know, it's just the almighty dollar. Insurance is not paying like it used to. And unfortunately, some doctors throw morality out the window and morals out the window, and they'll do whatever you ask them to do if you pay them.
What about the story of a Beverly Hills cosmetic surgeon who would not only do liposuction on people, but would then keep the fat that he sucked out of them and use it as a biofuel for his car?
This is an interesting story. It was a radiologist who worked out in Beverly Hills, and he claimed that he would actually use his patient's liposuction fat to power his car, and he would claim that he would drive to work every day with it. Well, eventually, the authorities actually shut his practice down, and he fled to South America, where he's still hiding out somewhere in the jungles of Brazil, is my understanding.
I mean, what did he do wrong? I mean, is that wrong to put, you know, fat in your car, or was he doing other things?
It's a biohazard, and so now he claims, and there's no evidence that this was actually true, but he claimed that his car was specially made to burn this fat. Well, you know, as you know, we have exhaust that comes out of our exhaust pipe. If you have human fat that's getting burned and the exhaust is coming out of your exhaust pipe, what type of viruses are in that?
That's a good point.
Overall, it's a biohazard. Now, it's never been proven that he actually did it, but he had a website claiming that this is exactly what he did, and he fled the country.
Tony, we're going to come back with you in just a moment. Tony's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Some people are out there, they want elf ears, if you can believe it. People are getting plastic surgery done on your pets. We're going to be talking with Tony about that. We'll take some of your calls as well. Maybe you've got some horrendous stories you want to share with us. I'm George Norrie, and we will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to contact me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Well, next hour, we are going to Bigfoot Country to talk about some current Bigfoot cases. Then later on, we talk about the strange beast known out there in Boggy Creek. So make sure you're part of that program. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're with plastic surgeon Dr. Tony Yoon as we talk about botched plastic surgeries and strange plastic surgeries. Tony, elf ears?
Yeah, this is an interesting phenomenon. There's a doctor actually in New York City who's reshaping the cartilage of the ears of young people, and he claims that it causes people to enhance their listening experience when they listen to music. And there are parties actually out in New York City where you have to have elf ears to actually go to these kind of rave-like parties, and it's all very underground.
How weird. Why don't they just go buy an elf ear kit and just stick it on their ears?
It'd be a lot easier.
My gosh.
A lot easier than spending the rest of your life looking like Spock.
I mean, how pointy do the ears go?
Oh, you can make them very pointy because literally you're just shaping the cartilage and cutting it into a different shape. And definitely this is a very strange occurrence. There's no real scientific proof that it would make your listening experience any better, but it's there is this phenomenon called body transmogrification where people will do these procedures to their body. Typically, it's non-doctors that are doing it, people who are splitting their tongues to give themselves a forked tongue.
Like a reptilian tongue.
Exactly. People who are having implants of various metal implants placed into their body, like spikes, kind of like the old Frankenstein, you know, where you'd have these bolts sticking out of his body. There are people who are having those inserted into their bodies, typically without any anesthetic, because the people who do these procedures are lay people. You know, they're like tattoo parlor technicians who'll do it.
Some people
don't have any lidocaine or anesthetics to use.
Well, some people are getting like vampire teeth put on as crowns. I've heard that from dentists.
Yeah, they're having their teeth shaped and kind of shaved down to look sharp. And these people are having these procedures. Typically, they're permanent procedures. I tell you, the crazy thing is, and I've seen it on TV and on news reports, people are splitting their tongues with literally they have a swig of whiskey, use some ice, and they literally have it cut while they're wide awake with no real anesthetic.
Oh, my God. Now, how wide is the split in the tongue?
Oh, it's several centimeters, like an inch long.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, and it's all done with no anesthetics at all, just some alcohol, some whiskey, and you squeeze something, and they do it. I mean, this is happening all over the place. I've had patients of mine show up, and you look at them, and there's literally these spikes sticking out of their body, and it's not doctors that insert them. I mean, there's a risk of infection, but this is going on in even small towns.
Does the split tongue affect their speech?
It can. Yeah, it can give somebody more of a lispy type of a speech. But bifurcating the tongue is a relatively common procedure in the body transmogrification, kind of the underworld of that.
We're going to get into more of this, Tony, and some phone calls. But why do people do this to themselves? What is wrong with them?
Well, I think we look at it in a lot of different ways. You know, back my parents, you know, the thought for them of people putting tattoos on their body is crazy. Well, now you look at TV and people just on the street, and everybody's getting tattoos now. You know, there are tattoos. People are tattooing all over their face. I had one patient come to see me, the ugliest tattoo I've ever seen. It was an actual heart, the ventricles of the heart, the aorta, the great vessels, and it was tattooed, very attractive young gal, right on the top of her chest. So she wore a shirt, and you could see the actual heart and the vessels. I mean, absolutely disgusting looking. And, you know, there are people who are just, this is how they express themselves. And I mean, who's to say what is extreme, I guess?
My parents
think that a guy getting an earring is extreme.
Well, they're putting piercings in their nose, in their lips, in their tongues, their tongues.
And you may have seen, too, some people with the gauge earrings, and these are the big hoops that don't hang from your ears, but they actually make your earlobes really, really wide and long. Yeah, that's very common now as well, and I've had to repair some people who've had those, and they've tried to get jobs, but they can't get a job because they look so, you know, unusual.
What about people with plastic surgery being done on their pets?
Yeah, that's something that's been making news lately. You know, I think that's more of a it's a very rare thing. Now, obviously, there are Shar Pei's and other dogs like that that do have issues with excess skin.
And right.
There are doctors that will perform literal facelift types of procedures on them, but they don't get these infections in the folds of their face. But the other thing is that there are dogs that get neutered, and there are people who are putting marbles and that type of thing into take the place of their neutering, actually.
Producer Tom and his fiance have a little dog named Freddie, and he's a cute little guy. He's even cuter when his hair grows out. But I could never imagine them taking Freddie to a plastic surgeon, maybe to make his legs longer or something.
Yeah, and the pet plastic surgery is very interesting. That's more of an underground type of thing. Other than, like I said, there are implants that they're putting in, you know, with neutered dogs and removing extra skin from the face. But very unusual to have an actual, just a cosmetic procedure. Oh, I don't like how my cat looks. Let's give my cat a facelift.
Man.
That's a little more extreme that we're not really.
Has anybody ever attempted to have plastic surgery done to their own kid like that? Because maybe they just didn't like the way they looked?
Oh, that's very common. I had one parent call me, and her child was literally 7 years old.
And I'm not talking about a deformity
that you're trying
to fix. Okay.
No. This was actually an Asian parent said, my son wants to look Caucasian. Can you operate on his eyelids and give him an extra fold on his eyelid to make him look Caucasian? And I thought, he's how old? 7 years old?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's seven. You do see that. It's not that common. There is a medical term called Munchausen by proxy, where parents will bring their kids in to have medical procedures done on them as a way for the parents to get attention.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's a real medical issue, and we do see that in people who are trying to bring their kids in to have plastic surgery done.
Let's take a few calls, and we'll talk more. Michael in Cleveland, Ohio, welcome to the show. Hi, Michael.
Question for your guest, a hard one.
Sure.
It's a common mistake most people have done on themselves by plastic surgery.
Okay, one more time.
What's the most common mistake a person can make on themselves by a plastic surgeon?
Okay, what is the biggest mistake you can make there, Tony, that
well,
they
the
can do on
mistake
themselves?
The mistake is that there are a lot of doctors out there who are performing plastic surgery that are not properly trained for it. In my community, there are emergency room doctors, there are ophthalmologists who are doing tummy tucks on patients, who are doing liposuction, and they have no real formal training for it. So the number one thing, if you're looking to have plastic surgery done so you don't become a victim of botched plastic surgery or any of these kind of crazy stories, is make sure your surgeon is certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. If your surgeon is not certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, there's a possibility that doctor has not had the proper training. You know, we have seen some crazy things. My old mentor in L.A., he did a nose job on a patient once, and the patient said, oh, I had an implant put in. He made an incision into the patient's nose, pulled out the handle of a toothbrush that a doctor had put into his nose
what?
To make his nose look longer.
Unbelievable. What about wings on people?
I'm sorry?
Wings on people.
This is an interesting story. There is, and I actually posted on my blog, Celeb Cosmetic Surgery, about this a couple of years ago, that there's a doctor that has been working on trying to create wings for people. This is a real doctor out of Dartmouth that has been working on it. It's nowhere near fruition, but it's crazy how many people have commented on the blog post. It really is something that at this point is very theoretical, but there is a couple of doctors out there who are trying to find a way to literally implant wings onto people.
We have a first-time caller, and Tommy tells me that he has had his tongue split anonymously. Hey, there you go. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm an engineer, actually, for a large telecommunication company for the past 10 years.
Okay.
I've had my tongue split. You know, I actually went to a studio I used to work at personally, and I know our medical grade was above and beyond your normal, like, going to see your doctor. Like, we had strict things, and we once a year would have to go get certified. We're all certified with bloodborne pathogen and CPR. And we actually do have people on staff that are anesthesiologists as well. So we can provide that, but most people choose to use like the cutting and stuff as a rite of passage because United States citizens, as young kids, I've noticed, don't have anything here in the States.
Well,
let me
ask you, why did you have your tongue split?
I had it done mainly just, it was like I've been working for years and I'm like, okay, I wanted to feel comfortable in my own skin.
Does it look like a snake's tongue?
Yeah,
you know how it's
split? I can actually move both sides perfectly fine. I was cut over a half inch and it's healed in the past years like 1/4.
Does it grow back together?
Yeah, eventually it slowly grows back together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What about infections, Tony?
Well, that's a big concern, you know, and the gentleman that called kind of addressed a little of that, but that's our big concern whenever you do any type of a cosmetic, any type of surgical procedure, is that if you're not having it done in a medical setting where the instruments are sterilized and the sutures are sterilized, then you know, that's a huge, huge problem. Now these people who are doing that procedure, typically, if you get an infection, they can't prescribe an antibiotic for you because they're not a doctor. And your next, you know, option is to go to the emergency room. And if you don't have insurance, then you're talking about over $1,000 just for an emergency room visit.
I was, talking about the story right before you came on, Tony, that one of the fastest growing procedures, chin implants. What do they put in the chin? What's the implant?
Chin implants are actually made of solid silicone. Now, silicone is one of the only substances that is considered inert in the body. So we can implant silicone like breast implants, and the body typically does not react to it. So last year, there was a 72% increase in the amount of chin implants that were placed. And interestingly enough, half of the people who have chin implants are men. And we're seeing that a lot nowadays, and we do believe that part of that phenomenon may be due to, believe it or not, FaceTime. People talking on their cell phones and using videos. And I don't know if you've looked at it. I have an iPhone, and I've FaceTimed with some of my family members. And I look at it, and I look terrible on my phone. And it's the angle that you look into your phone when you do these video chats. A lot of people are noticing different parts of their face that they may not have noticed before. And they go, oh, look, I've got a small – my chin doesn't look very good. And people are actually having procedures done now because they see these perceived defects on FaceTime and other types of, like, Skype and that type of thing.
So they get these squared-off chins like Dudley Do-Right.
Well, yeah, because a lot of times it's due to the angle that the phone is at. I know when I look at it, I look like I've got a double chin all the time whenever I look into my phone because of the angle that it's at.
Have you ever had plastic surgery?
Yeah, and I had a major, major plastic surgery where my jaw used to be twice the size it is now. And I wrote about that in my book In Stitches of how I had this painful operation between high school and college to have my jaw broken, reset.
Ouch.
And I had my jaw wired shut for 6 weeks afterwards. And now it changed my life. And it started me on the path of becoming a plastic surgeon. So I wrote a lot about that.
That is amazing.
But it was really painful. I mean, we're talking Guantanamo Bay type pain, and this was not a fun surgery.
Let's go to Nancy east of the Rockies in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Go ahead.
I had a breast reduction surgery, and I don't know if the doctor that did it knew what he was doing, but he was a certified plastic surgeon. And on my left breast, I had to have 3 surgeries.
Oh, my gosh.
And he, it's deformed now to a point. But my main thing was the doctor claimed that when I was a younger lady, I smoked and then I quit. And he claimed because I smoked in my lifetime caused me to have these problems with my surgery.
Does this make sense, Tony?
If you did not smoke, you know, within a couple of months of your surgery, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because studies do show that smoking basically acts as a tourniquet, and it can cause areas that have had surgery to heal improperly, to get infected and that type of thing. But the effects of smoking wear off relatively quickly, usually within the span of a few weeks, to the point where a few weeks later, your blood supply and the constriction of the blood vessels that carbon monoxide and nicotine in the cigarettes cause, usually that's worn off by then.
You just mentioned the little toothbrush in somebody's nose. What other bizarre things have people done that you can mention on the radio?
There's an interesting thing, you know, I mean, a lot of people are trying to lose weight nowadays, and there is a doctor out in California that's been recently reported that he takes a mesh and he will stitch a mesh patch on top of your tongue so that when you eat food, it makes it very, very uncomfortable. And it causes people to actually have a liquid diet and to lose weight. So this is one of the newest weight loss techniques where while you're awake, you get this mesh patch stitched onto the top of your tongue so that every time you eat, it makes it very uncomfortable.
Bizarre.
Costs about $1,500, and it's a weight loss procedure. Now, there's one doctor in the United States doing it. He charges a lot of money for it. Very strange. Another kind of interesting surgery, and this is a very real surgery, is that there are people who are having, typically men, who are having the fat on their abdomen liposuctioned to make the fat look like a six-pack. So we know what a six-pack is. A six-pack
is that roly look, right?
It's basically muscles.
Yeah.
But there are doctors who will actually liposuction the fat, mold the fat to look like a six-pack. So you get people who could have literally, they have pot bellies, but they have six packs.
Jeez, why don't we just buy those plastic Halloween things and wear them, right?
Oh, that'd be a lot easier way to do it. And you got to wonder, how's it going to look like, you know, 10 years from now? You know, that six pack's going to turn into a party ball or a 12 pack by then.
That is bizarre. They're all bizarre. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much, George.
Sure, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
One thing that I've seen recently that's been blowing my mind, I'm a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, and actually one of my men had it done, was they had the silicone implants along his eyebrows, which made it look like a reptilian ridgeline, which was really strange. And we actually called him Raptor when we were in Afghanistan. And and my other question is... are there really muscle or bodybuilders putting like butt implants and calf implants to accentuate like muscle texture? And did you hear on WIOD, I guess it was just like a couple weeks ago, I heard of some lady, I'm not sure if it was in Miami or in the area, that she got busted for doing butt implants.
That's right.
Fix a flat.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I guess they're getting butt implants too, Tony, aren't they?
Yeah, so male implants are something that's, it's not real common, but it does happen. They're solid implants. So these are different than female, like breast implants that are soft. But they're solid implants that are placed behind the calf muscle to make the calves look bigger. You know, so there are a lot of guys, you may see it, who are lifting weights. They got big arms and big chests and these skinny little legs. And so they're getting calf implants. There are chest implants or pectoral implants for men, bicep implants. There was a story of a doctor out in Miami, however, who was this renegade doctor who was putting female breast implants in men. And so obviously being careful with something like that because you just never know. But it is not as common as people may think, but it definitely, those procedures do happen. Typically about 1,000 or so a year is what the statistics are showing.
Tony, these are some of the strangest stories I've ever heard.
Well, we're using leeches as well. That's something that I wrote about in my book, and that's something very, very common. I mean, leeches and maggots are the other thing that we see very commonly. Hospitals, believe it or not, have leeches in the pharmacy. Most big hospitals have them because that's what plastic surgeons will go to if all else fails.
Well, and they work. Tony, thank you so much. Tony's book, In Stitches, Bizarre and Botched Plastic Surgeries. Up next, we're going to Bigfoot Country. Get ready for this coast-to-coast ride. Where are these creatures? We'll find out.